The Good Samaritan is probably one of the most read parables, and people that even haven't read the Bible know about the parable of the Good Samaritan. And there's a core message in the Good Samaritan that I think is universal. The Good Samaritan, Samaritans were sort of the dregs of society, half Jewish, half Gentile. They weren't accepted by the Hebrews. And this Samaritan has great compassion because he himself has been oppressed, and he himself has probably seen people walk on the other side of the road just so they wouldn't be in contact with him. So he understands that kind of neglect, and so he has compassion for the wounded man, who is Jewish. The passage says he's Jewish, and it's quite possible this could have been a man that oppressed him, that showed bigotry towards him. So that is a core message, and that still holds true. But every time I read the Good Samaritan, sometimes I go back to old parables because I want to understand what the Lord is speaking to us about. And I find the Good Samaritan to be a standard that is virtually impossible to reach. And I think the way most people approach the Good Samaritan, he is a goal that we aspire to move towards, to have compassion, try to gird up compassion, to contrive compassion in us. But as I was reading the passages, I identified more with the priest and the Levite. There's nothing like a bloody man on the side of the road to rock your world and make you walk to the other side of the road. And so those are individuals that I identify with. And so I thought about who they were and how they connect with who I am. And if you look at the lifestyle of a priest, a Levite, they are trained their whole life to be set apart, to follow an orderly process of ritual, to honor God, to ultimately fulfill the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And it's done in an orderly way. If you've ever read through Leviticus, people that say they read the Bible, they never get past Leviticus. Isn't this true? They hit a wall at Numbers or Leviticus, because it's a very complex books to understand. But they require a very solid path. Everything must be set in order. And those are things they aspire to be, is to have an orderly life, an orderly worship, an orderly ritual. And those are things that we aspire for. And what I realized in the passage was not to aspire to be the Good Samaritan, but to understand the barriers that the priest and the Levite could not get past in order to even get to the first step of compassion. Those barriers have to do with a life of convenience, a life that is easy for us. Isn't that what we aspire to have? I went to Costco on Friday. It's like the church of conveniences. They make me believe my life can be better. If I had the Tupperware set, the order in my fridge would just magically happen. My fridge wouldn't look like a cesspool of food and a landfill of food. They make me believe that if I buy those products, my life will be more convenient. And we take steps each week, each month, to think about what we can do to make our life slightly more convenient. Those aren't horrible things. It's not bad to have a convenient life. But I began to think, for the past number of months, this message is really for myself. I don't preach on messages that I myself don't have a problem with. I preach messages about the problem that I personally have. This message kept I couldn't get past this idea that the more I aspire to have a more convenient life, I am wondering if I am disqualifying myself for something. Because when our mind is wrapped around one path, and that barrier to helping others gets thicker and thicker, and that barrier gets more and more fortified. We disqualify ourselves to ever doing good in this world. That's what I came to realize. The more I increase this wall between me and the inconveniences that are required to do good in this world, the more I am disqualified. So I went back to the Samaritan and I thought about what the Samaritan was able to overcome. And then I also thought about many of the times I couldn't overcome, numerous moments. And there was one moment when I was in LA and I moved to California to go to Fuller Theological Seminary. I hadn't started yet, but I met some individuals. I had moved into the dorm. I had met some individuals in ministry. And there was a woman who asked me to visit someone at a hospital. And I don't know if you know anything about Los Angeles. The hospital was in the valley, actually Inland Empire, which is even worse. And it was August. If you know anything about LA, August and September are the hottest months. I had an old beat-up Honda Civic, no air conditioning. I had was working a temp job until seminary started. And I told her I would go visit this person because she told me he had cancer and the doctors gave him 2 weeks to live. I would just go and pray for him. And I said, I'll go visit him tomorrow because it was Friday, it was the end of the weekend. I mean, end of the week, and I had the weekend. So at 4:30, I got out of work, and it just happened to be 100 degrees that day. And if you know anything about Los Angeles, it was only 12 miles from my workplace to that hospital. But 12 miles in Los Angeles at 4:30 is equated to 2.5 hours. And I had no air conditioning, and I had just finished the day, and it was brutal. It was a kind of heat where everything is hazy. It was the kind of heat that could make you faint. And when you sit in traffic in LA, it's not just 100 degrees. You're just rolling on hot asphalt. I couldn't overcome the difficulty to go out there. And I said to myself, I'll go on Sunday, because that's the best day to drive in Los Angeles. Saturday morning, I got a call from that woman. She said, I'm so glad you went out to pray for him Friday, because he passed away this morning. And it's not to believe that my prayers would have made a difference, because I believe that God has many servants in the world. But I've disqualified myself. And I couldn't overcome the difficulty and the challenge and the inconvenience to get out there. And this is an issue about timing and about doing good in the world. Over the years, I realized we don't get to choose when we want to do good. The moments that require good come upon us at the worst moments, at the worst times in our life. The Samaritan was on the road. Anyone that goes and travels on a road is headed somewhere. Would you agree? He had a place to go, just like the priest, just like the Levite. No one drives and gets in a without heading to an appointment. No one randomly drives looking for someone broken down on the side of the road. We're all headed somewhere. Inconvenience, it is an aspect of doing good. And I want to believe that there is convenient good, and I want to believe that every day. What the reality is God always calls us when it's the most inconvenient. And if you look through any of the stories in the Bible, he comes at the worst time to call his servants. It just is that way. So we can't get past that, and we have to understand that. And building that wall of convenience is the thing that prevents us from doing good. The thicker we build it, the more we're fixated on it, the more we spend time preening it, grooming it, the thing that we obsess over. It's the thing that makes us virtually useless in this world, doing anything meaningful. All great things are inconvenient. Having children, the greatest inconvenience. But it's meaningful, yes? But children are inconvenient. My daughter's alive. And I read an article recently. I was wondering when the kid would come to appreciate us. And the Wall Street Journal said they averaged about age 27, they'll finally come to appreciate that. I'm going to wait till they're 27. So the inconvenience continues. So I just have to accept the fact that there has to be sacrifices made for meaningful things. So we need to evaluate the Good Samaritan. And we need to understand what was the Good Samaritan able to overcome. And this is the first step to compassion. We cannot gird up compassion and simply contrive it inside of us. Unless it doesn't work that way. We need to destroy the barriers from us ever considering compassion. Amen? Amen. Can I pray for you?
Yes.
Lord, thank you for this time. Lord, that we fail in so many ways, but you have faith in us because of your strength and your power, Lord, that you imbue in our lives because of your Son, Jesus Christ. We can be redeemed. We can be renewed. That, Lord, you would take our lives, our broken lives, our lives that don't qualify for any of the work you want to do, and give us the strength to do so, Lord God. Lord, we need you, God. We need your strength. Because we cannot do these things alone. Lord, I thank you for the blessings upon your people. And that we wait upon you and receive you with a glad heart. In Jesus' name, amen.